Well, we're at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture Conference in Denver this week, and we're going to talk with Gary Bass, who is with, Gary, I'll let you explain, a law firm in Washington.
Yes. I'm with a law firm that focuses almost totally on agricultural issues, be that food safety from the FDA standpoint, food safety from the USDA standpoint. The so-called lean beef, or known in popular parlance this week, the pink slime issue, it's our law firm that's representing that company that's had to lay off 3,000 people. In our firm, you have Jack Block, former Secretary of Agriculture, Charlie Stenholm, who was the ranking member on the House Ag Committee for several or many years. So we have some outstanding people who have served both agriculture and their voters in Washington, and then in Jack's case, who retired from being Secretary of Agriculture, and Charlie, who was forcibly retired through redistricting in Texas. They're members of the firm, plus I handle all the environmental litigation at Olson Frank Wieda in Washington, D.C., and we have a small office in Chicago.
You're talking about legal threats to animal agriculture at the meeting here, and seems like there's a lot of growing pressure there on the legal side.
Well, I think just this week, as I mentioned, the pink slime case, which, as anyone in agriculture knows, you have meat left on the bone after the butchering is done. What this company we represent did was a process that got all that meat off the bone, saved it, so it's 97% protein. But look at what the media and a USDA person who coined this term, pink slime, could do to a company that does wonderful work. The result of this means that we probably are going to need about another 1.5 million head of cattle to just maintain the present levels of meat production that we have in this country. I don't think we can generate 1.5 million head of cattle that quickly. So what's that going to do? It's going to mean more importation from Mexico or Argentina or other places in the world. So these decisions we make on agriculture have enormous consequences for production. And as indicated in yesterday's newspapers, 3,000 people are now without jobs as a result of really a very misleading campaign undertaken against agricultural interest. What I'm going to talk about today are threats against agriculture in general, but animal agriculture in particular. There are people in Washington, D.C. that are taking the position we need to get rid of most of the CAFOs in this country, or if not all the CAFOs, and they use several arguments. One, they say that animals generate about 48 to 50% of the methane that's causing our global warming or climate change. Now, I do not, we have global warming, but I don't subscribe to the idea that it's man-made. We contribute something to it because everybody contributes something to it. But people say, let's get rid of all the animals because methane has about a half-life of 8 years, whereas the CO2 you and I are breathing out and our listeners are breathing out stays around for about 100 years. So if you can get rid of the methane, which is about 30 times more potent than CO2, then these people claim that we can control our climate change issues. So that's one line of attack. Second line of attack, environmentalists are trying to have EPA regulate ammonia that comes off of our confined feeding operations, be it dairy, be it poultry, be it pork, turkey, you name it. The reason for that is that they want to make it an ambient air quality issue, just as we have in controlling smog or ozone, as people know it. That gives the EPA bureaucrats control over animal production in this country. Now, I am the lead lawyer for a company called Rose Acre Farms out of Indiana. They're the second largest egg producer in this country. We have a very hotly contested issue going on in North Carolina at the moment. The North Carolina EPA and the U.S. EPA and now environmental groups are wanting to intervene in this case. They want to control the ammonia coming out of the big fans on these buildings. We have about 3.5 million laying hens in this one facility. They want to get control over that ammonia, any dust or any litter coming out of the fans, because they say it falls on the ground and then by rainfall is washed into our stormwater ponds, and then, as they say, immediately washed into the waters of the state. That's wrong. The bottom line is they want to control, as they have put in the permit, the feed that Rose Acre feeds to these laying hens. The environmentalists want to get control of the poultry industry. This is one way of doing it. The cattle industry, which we have a number of representatives here at this meeting, EPA proposed to lower the dust standard. And you even heard Mr. Romney talk about the dust standard in one of the last debates. EPA wants to get control over the dust coming from dairy operations, which they've done in California. They want to do it sort of nationwide because cattle standing around churn up a fair amount of dust. So it's another way of EPA getting control over the cattle industry. On the water side, EPA is actually indicting farmers, including a cattleman, I think, just up in Oregon in the last few weeks, and actually he may have been convicted, for water coming from the sky, falling on the lot, and that water carrying manure into a nearby creek. Well, I'm going to talk about today four or five instances where farmers, dairymen, cattlemen, pork guys, have, under EPA's rule, been convicted of criminal actions. Now, we learned in law school you have to have a criminal intent, generally, to be convicted of a crime. EPA's taking the position that if you're just negligent and manure runs off of your property into a water, you can go to jail and they will indict you and attempt to send you to jail. They do not want trials. What they want is to threaten the farmer and say, you can fight us, but if you lose, we're sending you to jail for 10, 15, or 20 years. If you will plead, you know, you may get house arrest, a few $100,000 in fine. Any criminal lawyer worth his salt, as one of them told me, Mr. Bays, you might be able to win this. I'm not willing to take the chance, and my client's not willing to risk 15 years of his life on you. Mm. That's a tough argument. You can't win that. The other matter that I'll talk about just a little bit is a case that everybody, I think, has read about this last week, the Sackett case, which involves a couple in Idaho, had a 0.63-acre lot they were attempting to build a home on. EPA, and EPA does this thousands of times each year, issues an order, says, we think your property is a wetland, and then if you don't immediately remove the dirt and gravel from the property, they start assessing you a $75,000 a day fine. In the Sackett case, when it got to the Supreme Court, it was already up to $40 million. We have an agency that's out of control and is a danger to American liberty.
What do you see happening? I mean, we've got an election coming up this fall. Is this a case where an agency is so, as you say, out of control that it's going to be really tough to rein it in?
It will be very tough to rein it in. In fact, during the Bush administration, EPA issued more of these compliance orders than they did under the Obama administration. So it's just as bad under the Republicans, sometimes worse under the Republicans than it is under the Democrats. I am worried about Mr. Romney and his ability to rein this agency in. Congress is attempting to rein it in. In fact, there's a bill in Congress right now. I don't think it'll go anywhere. But to show the frustration congressmen have, this bill would say, if EPA comes out with a regulation that costs more than $100 million, it must be approved by Congress. That's how Congress is saying, wait a minute, we've got to stop this out-of-control bureaucracy.